Welcome to this week's message from A New Church. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our website, newchurch.nz. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy this message.
I got saved into a youth revival, right? There was like a mini youth revival going on right here at Zeal Church. It was awesome, you know, people getting saved and you know, just plucked out of situations that just normally wouldn't happen, and people getting on fire for God, and I'm just so thankful for this church. There were some funny things that happened at Zeal Church. I remember I was walking along the road just along here. I was walking to church or something. But and Simon's driving along the road, and he pulls over and he's like, "Isaac, you want to go and pray for a haunted house?" And I'm like, "A haunted house? Yeah, man, that sounds so cool. What do you mean a haunted house? Are those things real or what?" And so there was these, you know, unsaved people, and one of them had a friend that went to a church, and you know, they would at nighttime, you know, things would move in the house, you know, doors would shut by themselves, all this weird stuff's happening in the house. So they'd been told by their friend, "Oh, you could ring up this church and they might come down and pray for it and stuff." So me and Simon and Hayden, we go around there, and you know, we're like anointing everything with oil, and they're like, "There's freaky stuff in the roof." So we get up in the roof, you know, like up inside the roof where you have like the insulation fluff and all this. We're like anointing inside the roof, you know. We're like, "Let's go around the house 7 times like Jericho, you know. We're going to bring victory to the house. We're going to run around the house, you know. We're going around the house, Jesus' name, you know." Going nuts. And anyway, so after that night, nothing's going bump in the night anymore. Nothing's moving, nothing's going bang. And so one of the guys gets saved. And, you know, he went to the church wherever his buddy went to. But that was awesome. And when I got saved, I was hitching back from the skate nationals because I thought I was some kind of like tough little skater guy. And, you know, I was into drugs and into alcohol and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm hitching back, and I'm in about Waiwera. And there's a pastor, and he's driving back from Hamilton. He's got this Coke can in his cup holder. He's driving along the road, and all of a sudden his Coke can just flies out of the cup holder onto the ground. He's like, "What the heck?" So, you know, he pulls over so he can pick up his Coke can and put it back in his cup holder. He didn't see me there hitching. So I go, you know, open the door, and then he's like, "Who's opening my door?" I'm like, "This is a crazy guy." And he's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Oh, you're picking me up. I'm hitchhiking." He's like, "No, I'm not. I don't believe in the hitchhikers. They should catch the bus." You know, I'm like, "Okay, that's cool." I'm like, "Well, can you give me a ride anyway?" And then he's like, "I know. I tell you what. I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you all the way home, then I'll give you a ride." I'm like, "You go for it, dude." So I jump in, and he's preaching the gospel to me all the way home. So I'm like, "Yeah, that's cool." And so I'm on top of the Brendewins, and I'm looking out. Now, I'd had some substances that morning, which I shouldn't have. And so I'm looking out, and I'm seeing that there's like on the western side, there's just, you know, forest as far as the eye can see. The other way, there's ocean as far as the eye can see. And he says to me, "God can take your sins as far as the east is from the west." And I'm looking, I'm like, "Whoa, that's pretty far. Wow." I'm like, "Maybe, you know, I'll be happy if God just throws my sins outside the car. That'll do. You know, they'll be gone." So I give my life to Jesus. I get home. I didn't really change much over the next couple of weeks. I was trying to go to this guy's church, and, you know, I just couldn't get off work. I'm trying to. Normally you'd try and get off a shift, and everyone's like, "Oh, have your shift, oh, have your shift." And this time I'm trying to get off work, just no one's, you know, nothing. No one can do it. And so I had another friend, and he was just as bad as me, just as much as a rascal. And he rings me up and he says, "I just got saved. I just became a Christian." I said, "You did what? No, you didn't. What?" You know, and I said, "I just got saved. I just became a Christian." He's like, "You did what? No, you didn't." We're just like tripping out on each other, like, how did that happen? We just totally got saved independent of each other, but it was the Lord, amen? And so he says to me, there's this youth church, you know, on Friday nights. I'm like, Friday night? I don't work Friday nights. This is cool. So I come along to Zeal Church. Now, you got to remember that I knew nothing about God. Like, I don't understand how I didn't know so much. You know, you hear about, like, non-Christians talking about, you know, Christian stuff. They tend to know quite a bit, right? I knew nothing. Like, I didn't even know that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Never even heard the story. You're like, didn't you hear it at Easter? I heard about Easter eggs at Easter. You know, I knew nothing. So my idea of Christianity is Praise Be. You guys remember the Praise Be program? Most of you are too young to remember Praise Be, right? But Praise Be, you know, to me at the time, I'm like, Praise Be, you know, people in these vests, you know, gowns, singing these hymns and stuff, and you know, I'm like, oh, dude, I can't do this. But Lord, you know, for you, I'm going to become a Praise Be guy. I'm going to do that. Truggy, skater, you know, hip-hop, rapper. I'm going to get this gown on. I'm going to do this Praise Be thing. Okay. I had no idea. I didn't know there was churches full of people. I thought that if we got all the youth in Whangarei that knew God, we might have 5 or 6 people. Like, just scour them. Like, every single church in Whangarei, we get all the youth, we'll have 5 people, 6 people. You know, and so I come into Zeal, and there's like 80 youth there, just hands lifted, clapping their hands, dancing around. I'm like, who are these people? What the heck are they doing? Where's like the Praise Be guys? You know, and so I go and stand next to this random dude, and I'm standing there, and I'm like looking at all these crazy people, and I said to him, hey, do these people like believe in God? Are they Christians? And the dude looked at me like I'm from Mars. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So 2 weeks later, I'm so ready to like properly get saved, you know, because I was doing some stuff in between and all that. And so it was a Sunday night service, and I'm just like waiting for the altar call, you know. Whatever this guy's got to say, I just need to get down there at the end. I just got to give my life to Jesus, you know. So altar call happens. I'm just like, you know, I'm just ready to go. I just give me that Jesus. And so, you know, Simon takes me down to this back room and tells me about, you know, stuff, and, you know, gives me like this YP young person's book, you know, 30 day step to becoming the prophet Elijah. You know, I'm like, this is cool, man. And so, you know, this was my introduction to Zeal. And, you know, I'm just so thankful for what was instilled at that time, because, you know, I was taught to believe in the supernatural of God. I was taught to believe in the Word of God. You know, it's not to be watered down. It's the precious Word of God. There were so many things that were instilled in this church that I'm so thankful for. And so anyway, about 2 weeks later, I'm lying in bed, and I said to God, Lord, I've heard about this Holy Spirit thing, like a spirit, like an it or something, you know, like this Holy Spirit thing. So I heard it's kind of helpful and good or something. So I would like to have this Holy Spirit thing. And I'm falling asleep. I'm not asleep yet, but I'm just going to bed. And then all of a sudden, God audibly speaks to me. Like, I hear it with my ears. And he says, he's already with you, Isaac. And I'm just like, oh, God's real. God's real. Jesus is real. I jump out of the bed, you know. I'm like, oh, God's real. Jesus is real. Ah! You know, I'm just like, he's actually real. He just spoke to me. I heard it. You know, I thought, like, he's going to talk to me every day. You know, I've never heard the audible voice of God again. It's like 18 years later. But anyway, the next night, I have this vision. It was an open vision. It was just as real as we are right now, maybe realer. But I was lying in my bed, and I could feel the sheets in my bed. It was like real. And God starts to zoom out so I could see my house, see my street, see my neighborhood, see New Zealand, see the entire world. And then the whole earth is shaking. just this tremendous, thunderous noise. And it felt like God could destroy the earth at any moment in like a split second, including me, and he was going to. So I'm like, ah! and then all of a sudden, bang, I'm out of the vision. And I'm just like, I jump out of bed. I'm like, You know, I did not go back to sleep that night. I totally did not. And that showed me the fear of the Lord. Showed me the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, you could be a rocket scientist and you have zero true wisdom until you know the fear of the Lord, because that's true wisdom. And on the flip side of that, it showed me mercy. Because I thought I was going to be like a little pile of ash in a split second, but I was not. I was still alive. I'm alive. Praise the Lord. I still remember I was staying at a friend's house about 2 weeks later. There was a thunderstorm. The moment I heard the thunder, I was boom, jumped off the couch. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. Yeah. freaking out. But we had such good times at Zeal. I remember there was a camp that we had, and Simon, you know, he gets up, he does this very understated prophecy. He says, you know, I feel like tonight, maybe one or two people, they might laugh in the joy of God. Maybe one or two people, they might cry in the presence of God. Maybe just one or two people might get some deliverance. Half an hour later, if you're in that room, you're laughing, crying, or getting delivered. Just God just broke out, you know? And like, we're delivered people before. And there was like about 15 people all being like manifesting in a hardcore way. It's like, go in that back room and deliver them. You know, deliverance 101, what do we do? I remember one night we were here and we had the service, and there was this guy, he wasn't from our church here, and he just starts manifesting. He starts throwing haymakers at the people, the other people on the altar call line, you know? Like, he's trying to punch them in the head, take their head off, basically. So, you know, Hayden Robinson had been reading Romans, and it said in Romans 5:16, it said, thou shalt spear tackle people in the name of Jesus. So he comes along, and he just spear tackles this guy to the ground. This guy used to play for Northland, and so the guy's just smacked on the ground, and then, you know, he tells me, well, you have to deliver him. I'm like, what? And so I'm like, in the name of Jesus, the commander of the armies of heaven, and his hands just go like this on his ears, and he goes, this is my soul, and I'm like, what the heck is this? And his knees, you know, he's like kneeling like this, on the ground, and he just starts going along the ground like this, do, 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 do. And I'm like, how does that work? I don't know. So we pray for the guy who got set free and stuff, but there was some awesome things that took place at Zeal Church. But, you know, I was talking to the Lord about it, and I was like, God, why did that happen to me? Why? You know, I know so many other people that didn't get saved. Why did I get saved? Why did I hear the audible voice of God? Why did I have this vision? Why? And I remembered that I used to go to Polytech with these Islander people. And one day I was in the library, about 6 months before I got saved, and he comes and sits down next to me. I don't know, I was doing the library because I normally didn't do much study, but anyway, this particular time I was doing some study. And so he comes and sits down next to me, and he's like, do you know Jesus? And I'm like, no. And he's like, oh, you know, have you ever been to church? No. And he's like, oh, okay. Tells me a couple of things. And I'm like, okay, cool. He's like, would you like to come to church with me? And I'm like, no. And so we were in a class together, and the professor, tutor, whatever you want to call him, he put us together in a group to do an assignment. This guy and someone else as well, So there's three of us. And I was meant to go to this guy's house. He lived right next to the Polytech. And I'm going to his house to be part of this assignment. And what happens is I'm about to knock on the door, but I hear this crazy noise going on inside the house. So I didn't knock, and I thought, I'm just going to listen. What the heck is that noise? You know, and there's this lady. I could tell that she was way out the back of the house because it sounded kind of far away, like a big old bungalow or whatever it was, like a big old house. And but she is noisy, this lady. So, you know, I'm listening and I'm like, what is that? I'm not saved. I don't know anything. And she's in the back there going, Shatarama Sandeyarabayara no Shandeya. You know, she's going nuts. And I'm like, what the heck is that? Some kind of like tribal ritual or something? I don't know. But, you know, and then I hear her saying, Lord, I pray for Isaac. I pray for Isaac. Shandaraba sandale. You know, and she's just going crazy. And I'm like, she's praying for me? What is this? And so after I got saved and I saw them on the campus and I said, man, where did you learn to pray like that? What were you doing? kind of thing. And they said they would go down to Auckland to these meetings and that they would pray right through the night. So they'd drive down to Auckland, pray right through the night, drive back to Whangarei. And I was talking to a friend just recently and he said at that time that I explained to him, he said there was a guy coming from Reinhard Bonnke's ministry that would hold these prayer nights and training people how to pray and stuff, warfare. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. But see, this lady, she prayed in such a way. She's praying like a woman in labor. You know what I mean? She's praying. She's pressing through in the spirit. She's purchasing something in the spirit realm. She's going there. She, you know, they would drive down, pray right through the night, drive all the way back. And I just heard her that day, just shut up, Lord, save Isaac. You know, because you think like, oh, who was praying for me? What was going on? This lady was really praying for me. And so, you know, I think, man, what can we achieve? What can we achieve if we're praying like that? I remember Simon, he put on this 24/7 prayer. And we in the classroom out the back there, he'd got these big rolls of paper, you know, big massive rolls of paper, and put them around the walls, and then had these you know, mattresses around the side there, so you could, you know, sit down on the kneel on the mattresses and write your prayer requests and people you want to get saved and all this kind of stuff on the wall. And I still remember written on that prayer wall was Heaven Nightclub will close down and a church will go into that building. It was literally written there. Heaven Nightclub will close down and a church will go into that building. You know? And so I didn't know if when Simon started that 24/7 prayer that we were praying rostered right around through the night, people praying there 2, 3, 4 in the morning, whatever, for a week, if it would have such an effect on the city. And so I think that Zeal Church and what you guys are doing here, it has such a bigger effect than you see in the natural. And I think that this city is a different city because of what has taken place here. Amen? And, you know, I still remember when we went out and did Zeal in Ruakaka and there was a bunch of people coming from Mangatarato, but then all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're going to start a youth church in Mangatarato. So all of a sudden there's a youth church in Mangatarato that wasn't there before. And then the Waipu guys are like, we're going to start a youth church, you know? And so all of a sudden there's these other youth churches popping out. So the effect that Zeal Church had was so much bigger than what we just saw in the natural, even though the effect was quite big. And so I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful. But you know what? There's so much more that's available to us. There's so much more that's available to us. You know, we can be that lady that's in the back of the house, or that man that's in the back of the house that's praying the people in our course to God, praying the people in our workplace to God, praying these things into being. Because the Bible says that nobody comes to God unless the Holy Spirit draws them, unless the Holy Spirit brings them in. And the way that we're going to do it is God has given us power in prayer. Amen. The Bible says that there is the fervent prayer of a righteous man. It avails much. It has great power as it's working, because we live in a spiritual realm. Amen. So everything that we see in the natural, there's a spiritual behind it. And there's a war that's going on around the earth internationally for the body of Christ to stop the people of God from rising up and being everything that they're called to be. Because you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The Bible says. The Bible says that you're priests and kings before your God. Right? And so God has already given us so much. And it's so easy to look in the natural and see the way that people have hurt us and look at the disappointments against our expectations and look at all the things that have hurt us and look at every barrier and look at all the things that are coming at us and holding us back. And we can look at that. We can look in the natural and it can totally shut us down. Or we can look in the spirit realm. And we can say, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We can look in the spirit realm and we can say, I have been anointed for such a time as this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to set the captive free. Amen. You know, we might be walking along the road and there's somebody sitting in a bus stop, you know, with a cast on their arm or something. And we have the ability to be like, oh, that's the job for the apostle. That's the job for the international evangelist. You know, I don't really feel like I've been living that well this week, you know, so I can't really do this. And, you know, I don't know if I've got the boldness that I just... I'm just feeling a little bit insecure about, you know, where I'm at right now. And so I don't know if I'm going to do this, you know. I'm just going to keep on going. I'll leave it for someone else to do. They can do it. Right? Or we can feel those things. We can feel that attack against our identity. We can feel those feelings of insecurity, those feelings of fear, those feelings of doubt. They can all be there, and we can make a choice where we can say, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We can say, I'm a king before my God. I'm a priest before my God. I've been endued with power from on high. The same power that rose Christ Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of me. I have great and precious promises from my God, and He said that if I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. See, there's so much that's inside of you because you are a follower of Christ Jesus. You are part of the citizenship of heaven. See, we don't want to see that person in the bus stop and feel like, oh, heaven, please come down. Could you please? You know what I mean? We want to be like, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm an alien and a stranger on this planet. This planet is not my home. My home is heaven. I'm coming from a place where I spent some time in the presence of God and the atmosphere of heaven is around me. I'm the ambassador of heaven and I take that atmosphere with me. Amen. And so you're taking the atmosphere of heaven. It's not that heaven has to come down. You've already brought it because you're the ambassador. And so you have it in you. It's not something that you have to formulate a 10-year plan, right? I'm going to slowly climb the mountain of the Lord. Slowly. just getting better every day. Right? You have power on the inside of you right now. And you access it by faith. You access it by faith. See, the Bible says there's great and precious promises. And it's through these great and precious promises that we become a partaker of the divine nature of God. The Bible says that we have been given the mind of Christ. So we've been given all of these things so we can. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means that it's right there. It's right in the atmosphere around you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right there. And you are the one that is going to bring it to a hurting, dying generation. And I just got to speak to this because this is just the enemy. You know, it's like there's all this atmosphere out there of political correctness. And oh, you can't say this and you can't say this and you can't say that. And, you know, just all this political correctness gone haywire. We do not need to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when you stand up with boldness, when you stand up with an anointing, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be ashamed of because your God has got your back. Amen? And so we don't shrink back because the Bible says that in the last days that the church, the glory of the latter church is going to be greater than the former. Right? And so the former church is the book of Acts. So what were those guys doing? Right? What were those guys doing? They're going along and they're healing people with their shadows. Right? But sometimes we've just got to rise up above our thinking, above our circumstances, above everything that tries to box us, contain us, and break through. Amen? So you think about Silas and Paul, right? They're in the prison. They've just been beaten. They've just been whipped. Like, they didn't just go down to, you know, Wendy's and get an ice cream. That they've just been beaten and whipped and thrown in jail. Okay? So, I can guarantee you that when they were being whipped, they weren't like, yeah, that's awesome, give me some more. You know what I mean? They're people just like us. I think when they first got to the prison, they're pretty beat up. I think when they first got to the prison, I mean, these are real people, right? The Bible says that Elijah was a man just like us. And so Paul and Silas, they're in the prison and they're kind of beat up and they're kind of like, oh, man, I'm so happy to do this for Jesus. It was so good. Ouch. You know, they're not like really ecstatic. But the Bible says that at midnight, they're praising God. The Bible says they're loud, they're praising God, they're just going, you know, they're just like, Jesus, you're so awesome. You know, they're like, zealous for you, zealous for you. You know, they're going nuts in the prison, right? They're going crazy. But I guarantee you that they didn't start that way when they first got in the prison. They're just in there like, oh man, it was a hard day at the office. You know, and then a little bit later, they're just kind of like, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to get us out of this prison, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I remember that time that I was in that prison before you got me out. Thank you, Lord. You're going to do it again. Thank you, Lord, you're going to do it again. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for healing in my back right now. For this is sore, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for healing. I did this for you, Jesus. I thank you for healing right now. We're going to get released out of this prison in Jesus' name. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm getting out of this prison in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And they start rising up and rising up to the point where they're just, you know, they're over 100 decibels. They're just going nuts in the prison. You know, they forgot about how sore they were when they first got there. But they broke through what was holding them back. They broke through the natural circumstances because it would be really easy to be in that prison and be like, I'm stuck in a prison.
They're probably never going to let me out. This culture's just so against Christianity. I'm going to rot here for the rest of my life. They're probably going to execute me. You know what I mean? It's like you can look at the natural and you can get in fear and you can get in doubt and you can get in these things and you can just dig yourself into a deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper hole. Oh, I'm in here because God hates me. I'm in the prison because he doesn't like me anymore. You know what I mean? But they didn't do that. They strengthened themselves in the Lord. They encouraged themselves in the Lord. They started to work in the Spirit. They started to build themselves up in the Spirit. They started to proclaim the promises of God. And all of a sudden at midnight, they're praising and thanking God. And God's shaking the prison. God's sending angels. God's breaking through. And so what area of your life do you need him to come and bring an angel? What area of your life do you need him to break through in? And we don't want to be a slave to the mountain that stands in front of us. We don't want to be those that are like, oh, there's a mountain. Ah! You know, like, ah. But we want to be those, the mountain doesn't speak to us, we speak to it. Amen. We speak to the mountain and we say, you move in Jesus' name. You mountain of financial struggle. You mountain of depression. You mountain of heaviness. I break your power in Jesus' name. This is what the Lord has said. These are the promises of God. This is what the Lord is going to do. And so we want to be on the right side of this battle. Amen. We want to be on the right side of the battle where we're walking in victory. We're walking in everything that the Lord has given us to walk in because he's given you such great and precious promises. The Bible says he's given you all spiritual gifts in heavenly places. And like I said before, Elijah was a man just like us. But because of the way that he believed, because of the way that he prayed, he was able to do what he did. If I could just get the worship team to come. What in your life is just waiting for a miracle from God? What in your life is just waiting for a breakthrough? Let's imagine that we lived in a world where there was no problems, where there was no suffering, where there was no pain, where there was none of these things. What would you have to believe God for? What would you be able to be victorious in? Nothing, right? There'd be absolutely nothing to believe God for. And so in all the problems that you face and all the things that just seem like this overwhelming weight, God can punch right through that as you believe that he can. As you take up that faith, take up that sword of faith, that sword of the word of God by faith, and you break through everything that comes against you and holds you back. Thank you, Lord. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you just highlight areas right now, areas of our lives that are mountains that speak to us, mountains that speak to us. We don't speak to them, they speak to us. Things that we've become a slave to. Areas where we so worry, we so doubt, we so fear. We speak to those areas right now. Whew. We speak to those areas right now. Whew. And it's not just I who speak to those areas, it's you that needs to speak to that area by faith. Because if you speak to those areas by faith, they have no choice but to stare at the eyes of Jesus coming out of your eyes.
Because what's on the inside of you is the hope of glory. And if you go to war over those things, you win. Because Jesus inside you can't lose. When you don't fight and you just let it walk over you and you just let fear and doubt and unbelief and worry torment you, that's when you lose. That's when you lose. But when by faith you grab hold of the promises of God, you speak to the situation, you start to shift the situation in the spirit. And then you stand back and you watch that faith work. Because the Bible says that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharp as a double-edged sword. And the words of the Lord that go out, they shall fulfill that which they were sent to do. Whew. Who's the Lord calling you to stand in the gap for? Who at your workplace? Who at your school? Who in your family? Who's the Lord calling you to stand in the gap and say, God, I'm going to be that person that prays and presses in and believes by faith that that person is coming into the kingdom of lights, they're coming into the kingdom of God. Who are those people in your life? Well, I'll tell you who those people are. Who is in your sphere of influence that is not saved? That is those people. That is those people, because every generation needs a move of God, and you are the move of God that's going to touch your generation. You are the move of God that's going to touch your generation. But you know what? We can actually pray in a spirit of fear. Oh, Lord, this problem that I've got, please help me with it, Lord. It's just a terrible problem. It's been there for a long time, and I just don't know what I'm going to do, Lord, and please help me. That is not a prayer of faith. That is a prayer that's prayed in a spirit of fear. I remember Winky Pratney said that there was a girl, and she had a wart on a place on her face that was very direct, so the kids at school would hassle her. And so every night, she would go home, and she would pray that the wart would be taken away. And she prayed that prayer for about 2.5 years. But when she would pray it, she would say, oh, God, please take the wart away. The kids are picking on me. And so she prayed this for every night for 2.5 years. And after 2.5 years, an angel shows up in her room so she can see it with her eyes. And the angel said, can I please get a little bit of passion? And then disappeared. And so she jumps out of the bed and she's like, God, I thank you that you're going to do this. I thank you that you're the supernatural God of the universe. And you're going to take it away. The next day, it's gone. The next day, it's gone. Some of you say, hey, I pray a lot. Nothing's happening. Don't pray in a spirit of fear. Don't pray in a spirit of unbelief. We have to pray in a spirit of faith. And as we pray in a spirit of faith, we will see the things that we ask. When we ask believing, God shall do the things that we ask for.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope it was an encouragement to you. To contact us or to find out what's happening at our church, please check out our website, renewchurch.nz.